TED Talk with Jeff Quattromani.
Okay, Monday afternoon, and we always catch up. We're round about this time with Jeff Quattromani. Hello, Jeff. How are you, mate?
I'm really well. How are you?
Not bad, mate. Not bad. Let's get stuck into it. You've been testing the latest another smart speaker from Google. You say it's likely to appear.
It is almost not another smart speaker, but here we are with the Nest Audio, and this is really, you know, Google's now entry point into smart speakers. So if you are somebody who hasn't gotten into smart speakers yet, here is the one from Google. It's $150. And the biggest focus that they've got here is on music, because I think they've realized that most people are using their smart speakers to command the next song or to ask a particular artist to be played. And this one actually sounds quite good for $150.
Can I depict a bit of a cold in your voice there?
There is a little bit. I thought I'd try and come off clean on air, but unfortunately it's coming through.
Where did you pick that up from?
I've no idea, mate. I even went and got tested for COVID yesterday to be 100% sure. I am clear. But yes, I've got a bit of a head cold at the moment.
So, there you go. So you've been out and about, or have you been sort
not
of...
Really.
Not really.
Not really. I don't know if I got it from my wife. Maybe she's been out somewhere, but I've been behaving. I thought I was doing the right things, but something got me.
There you go. Okay. The smart speakers, I mean, there's so many on the market these days, isn't there, smart speakers?
We are spoiled for choice. And, you know, at the $150 mark, you're usually looking at, you know, Google or Amazon to provide something to you. When you go up to about $200, $300, then you can start to consider products like Sonos. I mean, the Sonos One is $299, and that's going to give you the choice of the Google or Amazon voice assistant. So you've got the option of both. But at this price point, it's pretty much laying in the hands of Google.
So the Sonos One is a smart speaker, but it's not Apple compatible, is it?
Not going to be Apple compatible in the sense that you're not going to find it work with Siri or anything like that. It does support Apple Music, and it also supports AirPlay. So if you do have an iPhone and you're playing music that's on your phone, you can actually AirPlay to the new Sonos range of speakers, which is handy, but you won't be talking to Siri at all through those.
Can you see that changing so that it comes in line, as in, you know, it'll be across both Android and Apple with their, you know, assistance? Or do you think it's gone on now for so long without Siri being available, it just won't happen?
Look, I think Apple is so good at keeping everything to themselves and keeping an ecosystem in their own world that, you know, we're actually probably more likely to see them announce a new smart speaker on Wednesday when they do their iPhone event. I wouldn't be surprised if they announce one of their new smart speakers to compete with, you know, products like this from Google.
Let's talk about this event now. There is an event 4 a.m. Wednesday, and it's, you know, Tim Cook stands up and tells us how wonderful this new iPhone is, because it's got a sharper screen and another bloody camera.
Well, I expect at least another camera, but I think the biggest thing they'll be announcing on Wednesday is an iPhone with 5G support. And, you know, they're actually going to be one of the last manufacturers to do that.
Exactly.
They're very late to the party on that sense. But, you know, expect something, yes, you're right, with a better screen, better camera, but now with 5G. And I think, you know, very much playing catch-up here, and potentially they'll add some other products. I do think that they would announce a new HomePod, which is their smart speaker, something cheap that will compete with these other ones that are out there.
The trouble with a HomePod is you've got to have it plugged in. I mean, you can't. It's not portable in any way.
No, it's not. And actually, it's hard to find smart speakers that are. We know that Sonos has the Move. There are some from JBL, and even Ultimate Ears have some portable smart speakers. But so many of them require a power point, and they are not usually something you can take to a picnic.
Yeah, that's right. I mean, what's the one that's the cylinder UE? What's that called?
The Boom, or the Mega Boom.
Thank you, the Mega Boom. The Mega Boom is portable, but of course it's not really a smart speaker, is it?
No, so they've got one which has got Amazon's assistant built into it, but that one, it gets even more expensive because it does need Wi-Fi and things like that to really function, so it's a bit of a hassle.
So do you really think, and I've read lots of, you know, gossip, because you never know with Apple, and I've probably read similar gossip to what you've read about the launch of the Apple iPhone 12. Apart from, you know, supposedly there's going to be one that's the biggest iPhone they've ever released, and there'll be two possible budget-priced iPhones being released. Mm-hmm. Can you really believe that that's the best Apple will be able to dish up to us in this day and times?
We have had an event from Apple, what maybe was 3 weeks ago, I think, and it was pretty disappointing. We had a new iPad, we had a new Apple Watch, and neither of which were particularly impressive. Yet here we are going back to a virtual event with Apple, hoping for more and more products, but I feel like we're going to be let down. I'm trying not to get too excited about it. I've been, you know, talking to people about what could be coming and preparing for it, but I'm going easy and just saying expect an iPhone and maybe one other thing, such as a new HomePod. I'm not speculating on all the other rumors that have been there because I just don't think Apple's going to surprise us like they used to.
When are they going to release their software update for the Mac? They've released software for the iPad and the iPhone, but they haven't released the software yet for the new Mac.
Yeah, the Mac one usually comes at the start of the year. So I think we had an upgrade around February, March last year,
or this year.
And so for Mac, we usually get it around the first half. So I would expect that we'd now be waiting for a couple more months yet.
Okay. Now, you've been wearing the latest and most expensive Fitbit. It's called the Sense and has more sensors than you thought you'd ever need. What's it tell you?
So we've gone from just tracking steps and then we went to tracking your heart rate. Now the Fitbit can also track the temperature of your skin, and it's constantly reading the temperature of your skin to try and obviously detect potential things like a fever, but actually it's using it to try and detect stress, and it's using all these different sensors to combine, you know, your heart rate, your skin temperature, and potentially give you warnings as to the fact that, you know, things don't look right, maybe you need to calm down. And then it even talks you through certain breathing exercises to bring your heart rate down and try and cool you down a bit. And look, I've been wearing it, and the amount of exercises that it can track is obviously growing, but the way it's actually reminding me about things, about when I go to bed and then when I wake up in the morning, it's giving me a real deep insight as to even how many breaths I took per minute while sleeping. And, you know, I don't need that data now, but if a doctor, which I was visiting yesterday, if they had asked me any types of questions about, you know, my health, I could probably find out about it through that Fitbit app. There's so many things being recorded.
We talked about the update to the Apple phones, the update to Android phones. They'll give you a feature that can alert you when you hear certain things, a baby crying, the sound of water running, a doorbell. Excellent, you say, for anyone hard of hearing. Tricks and things, they've been added to the latest Apple Watch, haven't they?
Correct. So these exact things have also been added to the new iPhone operating system. So if you update to iOS 14, you'll get this feature already. But if you have an Android phone, maybe a Samsung or something else, and you are hard of hearing, this is fantastic. Essentially, your phone can listen out for you and give you a vibrate or flash the camera when it maybe hears the sound of a baby crying or a door knock. Even the doorbell sound can be detected as well. So if you're hard of hearing and you miss phone calls or you miss things happening around the home, your phone can now really give you some help and actually say, look, I'm hearing the sound of running water. Maybe you've left the tap on or there's somebody at the front door. This is, for me, features that I think people should really be considering when they are hard of hearing now.
I tell you what I hate. We in our house, because we run a business from our home, we have a phone each, so there's two phones. We have an iPad each, so there's two iPads. And we have an old iPad in the kitchen and an old iPad in another room.
Wow.
And we've got both an Apple Watch. So, you know, we live in an Apple world, obviously. But when an email comes through, because we both share the one email address, as in the one email account, Apple account, when an email comes through, it's ding, 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 ding. I mean, it just goes on and on and on.
That's hilarious. And that is a problem I can see a lot of people having when they have, you know, especially a laptop, iPad, phone, and watch all on the same account. That's going to happen a lot, that you'll have everything lighting up. But put some of them on silent, surely.
Well, I do when I'm batching midweek. I put it on from 10 p.m. until 7 a.m. But with the business, my wife can't because she needs to be contacted in case there's a problem.
True.
And so she can't put it on silent. But
that's amazing.
Oh, just honestly, ding, ding, ding. You know, 3 a.m. in the morning, ding, 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 ding. Anyway.
Too many devices, too many toys.
First world problems, eh?
It is.
What else? You've travelled to Hardy's in McLaren Vale last week to do a tasting session over Zoom. Look, I obviously have a business in Hunter Valley Wine Country, so I'm well-versed in the fact that there are many wine makers that are doing virtual tastings, and they're putting them on Instagram, and they're putting them on their websites, and they're doing anything they can to try and get people still coming through their doors now that they're allowed to, A, or B, when it was cellar doors were closed down, it was anything you could do to get people to buy your wine online. You posed the question, will this become part of a cellar door tasting or a wine tasting when we have a bloody vaccination for this COVID-19 and we're back to some form of normality? Now, you tell me about your tasting experience at Hardy's.
Yeah, so what they did for us last week was they sent me a package which had four of their new vintages lined up in a box. Yep. And I joined a Zoom meeting which must have had maybe 10 or so other people joining who had received the same package. Then the winemaker from Hardy's basically talked us through pouring each of the wines and told us about them, and we did the tasting. For me, it was quite amazing because I was able to do it from home, didn't have to worry about driving anywhere or anything like that. But I do miss going to a cellar door. I think half the experience of doing a tasting is actually being there and seeing the environment where the wine is made. But honestly, it was just so convenient, and I will consider doing it, especially for, virtual team building sessions and things like that for work that I think we probably need to start considering.
However, you were given the wine.
Yes.
If you're not given the wine, do you have any idea as to how much it would have cost you to get that sample tasting sent to your house for
it's crazy. The bottles that we tasted ranged from $25 to $150. But I know that there were obviously some vineyards who are doing tasting packs where you pay around $50 and they send you very small samples of their wines to get you ready for that Zoom meeting. But, would I actually be prepared to outlay all that money knowing that I may not like all of the wines? Mm-mm. I think that is a potential risk.
Yeah. Look, in many ways, wineries have had to change, like restaurants have had to change the way they do things. And I suppose when you do something like that, you take from it what worked for you at the time and put it into the new world when we get back to this normality and ditch the rest.
Absolutely. Look, and to be honest, I mean, I'm going down to the Hunter Valley for a weekend next month, and I cannot be more excited just to get back inside a cellar door. I miss it. I miss that face-to-face wine tasting experience. But, for the meantime, that was quite a bit of fun to feel reconnected a little bit to the cellar doors.
Where are you staying at the Hunter Valley when you go?
Voco, is that what it's called? V-O-C-O, I think it's the name of the hotel.
V-O-C-O.
Yeah, I think that's what it's called. My wife booked it.
Okay, it's not one I know of. But you'll have a great time. It's nice. It's not, actually, it could be hot in a month's time, but anyway. It could be.
I mean, it'd be mid-November. It's the Voco Kirkton Park.
Oh, okay, so it's Kirkton Park, yeah. All right, no, I know. They've changed the name. It used to be called something at Kirkton Park. Yeah, no, it's a very nice place,
Fingers crossed.
Okay, mate, all right. Well, you'll have a great weekend when you go to the Hunter Valley. You shall.
Dying for it.
I was just trying to think of, have you got any favourite wineries that you're going to go and have a look at?
Definitely popping down to Keith Tullock. McGuigan's is booked in as well. My wife has been booking everything for me because it seems like we have to book tastings now.
You do.
I think Irongate was one of them that she's lined up. So,
right.
She's taking the reins this time.
You should try and see Mistletoe Wines. They're really good too, which is up the road from Keith Tullock Wines.
Okay.
Mistletoe Wines.
Writing that down.
Great selection of wines. And they do a great little tasting too. When you go in there, you sit down at the table. This is, the COVID way they do tastings now. Mm. And they give you a little pack. It's got cheese and bickies, a bottle of water, and the family of the wine. I was going to say the wine maker, but it's the bloke that owns the show, runs the show, and that's Ken and Gwen Sloan. So the Sloan family will look after you. They've been around for a while. He knows his stuff, Ken Sloan. He really knows his stuff when it comes to talking wine. Anyway, it's another suggestion that I'm sure you've had plenty thrown at you.
No, I've got it written down now, so I'll be passing it on to the organiser.
To the boss. Okay, mate. Yes. We'll talk next week. Thank you, mate.
Thanks, mate.
If it's world-breaking news, we'll talk on Wednesday after this Apple thing, but I tend to think we'll talk to you next Monday.
I think so too.
Isn't it terrible we just have no faith in Apple anymore?
No, it's hard to, but look, I'm always open to being surprised, but
me too.
I'm being a bit real this time.
Okay. Thanks, mate. We'll talk to you next week. That's Jeff Quattromani. We'll put the podcast up on our website, 2hd.com.au, if you so choose to listen back.